In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at John 11. "And when he had said this," Jesus, "he cried out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out of his with his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" As I said yesterday, the Lord calls us to unbind each person so that they can be free. How many people are really stuck by fear or hate or unforgiveness? The Lord asks us to unbind people by asking God to come into their hearts, by asking Jesus to come into their hearts, to forgive their sins, to wash them clean with the blood. "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him." Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. "But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done," told them that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. "So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, 'What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him.'" Well, everyone does believe in him. Oh, yes. So many people believe in Jesus, but have you given your life to him? Not only do you speak about him, but have you given your life to him? "And the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place," that's the temple, "and our nation." If they find out that they're calling Jesus the king, the Romans will come and destroy the temple and the nation. "But one of them, Caiaphas, the high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed.' He did not say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation." But not only for the nation, but for you. Not only for you, but for me. Oh yes, he died for us. But he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead, hallelujah. And he's got plans for you and me. Let's continue. "And not only for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from the day on, they planned to put Jesus to death." It's the devil. "Jesus therefore no longer walked about openly among the Jews, but he went from there to a town called Ephraim in the region near the wilderness, and he remained there with the disciples." Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and were asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think?" They were looking for Jesus. I tell you, the world is looking for Jesus, and we need to proclaim his name to people. We need to proclaim his cross to people. We need to proclaim his blood to people. Oh, they were all looking for Jesus. Today, a man who was cleansing our water or checking our water from the town said to me, "Did you put your Zen on?" I said, "My Zen?" I said, "I put Jesus on. He is my Lord, not Zen. He is my Lord." I tell you, so many people are mixed up because the gospel is not preached. The gospel is not preached to people. So they're going to put their Zen on, or they're going to watch Harry Potter and learn how to curse people. Surely he will not come to the festival, will he? Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know so that they might arrest him. They're going to arrest Jesus. I tell you, He did nothing wrong. He only loved people. He only healed people. He only raised people from the dead. But you know what? They want to arrest him and kill him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. I tell you, I wonder what Lazarus saw before he was raised from the dead. I would love to have sat with him and talked about, what did you see? What was going on? There they gave a dinner for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was the one who sat at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. I tell you, Mary is always the same. Martha is serving. Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Where are you? Where are you today? Are you into serving? All right, are you at the feet of Jesus? Well, once you're at the feet of Jesus, then you learn how to serve in his name. Oh, yes. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it. So that she might keep it for the day of my burial." Jesus knew he was going to die and that this perfume would anoint his body. "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." That's right. Physically, we do not always have Jesus, but Jesus said, "I am with you always, even until the end of time." How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know that he makes Jesus present? Do you know these things? Not only in your head, but do you know this in your heart? When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also because of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Oh, yes. This is someone who was dead for 4 days, that his body should have been corrupt, because it takes 4 days to corrupt the body of a dead person in the Holy Land. So the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of Lazarus that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. I tell you, I wonder about people raising people from the dead. We're having Tyler Johnson come, and he is an apostolic teacher ministering in churches, conferences, and events worldwide. He directs more than 60 teams dedicating to fulfilling Matthew 10, verse 8, which says that you're going to heal the sick, you're going to cleanse the lepers, you're going to raise people from the dead. He is a best-selling author and is fascinated by Jesus. I tell you, Tyler is going to speak to us on Thursday morning and on Thursday night. On Friday morning and on Friday night. He is a man who takes the Lord literally, that we should be raising the dead. I tell you, before I want to raise the dead, I want to raise spiritually dead people. Oh yes, one prophetess told me I'll be raising the dead in my 60s. Well, it hasn't happened yet. And I'm in my 70s. I know that Jesus wants the dead raised. He says it. He says it, and he knows what he means. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, raised from the dead, they remembered that these things had been written of him, and that he had done these things. these things.
Do you know that they called Jesus king? That's why the Pharisees want to destroy Jesus, because if Caesar finds out that there's another king, he will destroy the temple and destroy the nation. And as a matter of fact, that's what happened, because they rejected Jesus in the year 70. Their glorious temple, not one stone upon another stone. Why? Because they failed to realize the visitation of God in Jesus Christ. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The sign of raising Lazarus from the dead. My Lord, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, except through his shed blood, his blood that makes us white as snow. Yes, his shed blood. How often we need to preach on the shed blood of Jesus. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Oh, I tell you, if the world knew who Jesus was, they would fall down on their faces and give their life to him. Do you know who Jesus is? Is he your Lord and Savior? Have you had an encounter with him? Oh, it's time to have an encounter with Jesus so that we will be saved. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival of Passover were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." I tell you, that's what everybody is saying. They don't even know it. When they're eating a hot fudge sundae, what they're really saying is, "Sir, I want to see Jesus, the ultimate good. Jesus, I want to see Jesus." Do you know that to see Jesus is to see him in faith? To see him in faith. We do not see him face to face at this point, but we see him in faith. "We wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. I tell you, this Andrew brings people to Jesus. He brought Peter to Jesus. He brought the little boy with the fish and loaves to Jesus, and he brought the Greeks to Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Ah, yes. "Truly, truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, into the earth, and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." Do you know who the grain of wheat was? Jesus. You know who the fruit is? You and I. And all the people who love Jesus. And all the people who have given Jesus their lives. Those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. "Whoever serves me must follow me, that where I am, my servant will also be." Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father right now. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. Oh, yes. We need to be where Jesus is. Not only at the Father's right hand, but with the poor. With the poor and the broken, and telling people that he is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. He is the Savior. He has come to save the world. "Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Do you serve Jesus? Then the Father honors you. "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour?" "No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour." What's the hour? The hour of crucifixion. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel
has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men, people, to myself.
When he was lifted up on the cross, he drew every single person into his broken heart, starting with Adam to the end of people who are going to be born at the end when he comes back.
He said this to indicate what kind of death he was to die on a cross. The crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They're stupid. They don't believe. Even though the dead are raised, they still don't believe. Jesus said to them, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you will not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light.
Are you a child of the light? He said, you are the light of the world. Those who have given their life to Jesus in baptism and in the second conversion are the light of the world. It's so wonderful that we bring light into the dark world.
The world we know is darkness, the darkness of sin. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe him.
You see, it takes faith to believe in Jesus. Even if you see all these signs, it takes faith to believe in Jesus. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They still don't believe. They still don't believe.
Well, a lot of them don't believe because they don't want to be put out of the synagogue. They love the glory of men and women more than the glory of God. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart.
Is your heart hard today? O Jesus, soften our hearts. Take out the stony heart that's in us, O God, and put in a heart of flesh instead,
so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.
Oh, turn to Jesus today.
Let Jesus heal you. Turn to Jesus today. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about Jesus. Nevertheless, many, even in the authorities, believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God.
I tell you, who needs human glory? I need the glory that comes from God. And that comes by believing in Jesus and giving my life to Jesus and surrendering to Jesus.
When Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me.
In other words, whoever believes in Jesus believes in the Father who sent him.
And whoever sees me sees him who sent me.
Whoever sees Jesus sees the Father who sent him.
I have come as the light of the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
I tell you, the salvation of the world would come on the cross. The salvation of people would come through the blood. The salvation of the world will come through the cross.
The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as a judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and how to speak.
Yes, the Father shows Jesus what to say and how to speak. You know, there's not only what, there's a how. You know, we're not only to speak in Jesus' name, But how we are to do it? We're not doing it with condemnation, but with love. With love.
And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me.
Jesus speaks by revelation. That's how he speaks.
Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. He knew he was going to be crucified and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. Oh, yes, he loves his own to the very end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet.
How humble he is! The slave is to wash the apostles' feet. Jesus empties himself and becomes a slave as he washes the disciples' feet,
and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Listen to this now. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Unless I wash you in my blood, you have no share in me." Oh yes, he must be washed in the blood of Jesus. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet alone, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "A person who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if your teacher and Lord has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." I remember a man from the western part of the state came to my house because he said the Lord asked him to wash my feet. And I remember being humbled, but I let him do it. I let him do it because the Lord said, "Do it." Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor the messengers greater than the one who sent them. Oh, the Father sent Jesus. Jesus empties himself of the deity and becomes a slave. Oh, yes, he emptied himself of the glory and becomes a slave. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking to you of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now, before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Are you coming to our experience of the Holy Spirit school? Tonight we start at 7 o'clock at Holy Rosary. Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Tomorrow, Tyler Johnson will be speaking in the morning and in the evening about raising the dead. I want to hear it. I need to hear it. I also want to tell you I need to hear from you so that we could pay our June bills. You get blessed by these broadcasts, but you never send anything in.
We need to pay June's bill. So write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or go to inseason.net and leave something on PayPal. I'm very grateful for those who have responded. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If I do not wash you in my blood, you have no part in me. O Jesus, wash us with your precious blood. Cause us to know you personally. Cause us to love you. We ask this totally in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.